There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Like 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Monday. Quick reminder, or maybe you're new to the show, either way, phone number and the text line made it easy here. They're the same, 343-0106, 343-0106 to get in touch. On this show, or we do 56 hours of live local shows from FM Talk 106.5 every week. So it might be this show, might be one of the weekend shows or in the evening or whenever. You want to chime in, 343-0106. All right, a lot to do on today's show, and I was going to do a programming note, but let me do this. Let me bring in our buddy Todd Stacey into this because he'll be interested as well. Hey, Todd.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
Good. So, yeah, stand by here. So I'm just going to tell everybody, I know this is of interest to you, if you were happen to be down here or something like that, we'll go live Friday night with the Auburn and Michigan game here at FM Talk 106.5. So, of course, we cover Auburn sports here and just letting everybody know. It's a Friday night, late night game, but it will be live here at FM Talk 106.5 on Friday night. So everybody knows.
Super late.
Yeah, super, like,
super
real late.
I don't understand it.
And elegantly late.
Well, and so I'm going to be in D.C. next week, or this week, and so I'm an hour ahead, so that's going to be like 10 o'clock, basically, when that game
tips
off.
How big of a fan
off.
Are you, then? I mean, Todd, really, do
oh,
you,
don't
you
worry.
Really care? Do you, I mean, if you really cared, you'd stay up.
No, it's not a matter of staying up. It's a matter of staying sober that long on a Friday afternoon.
It makes more of the games more fun to holler at it when it's like that. But yeah,
I'm super excited, though. Sweet 16. I love college basketball. Even when Auburn's not in it, I've always loved it. And it's so cool, you know. Well, think about it. There's
a
lot
of. We got your school
Alabama.
And my school both in it. That's what I'm saying. You got, you know, you're Auburn guy, I'm an Alabama graduate. Both of us in the mix here.
It's fun to see convincing wins, and then, you know, there's a lot of Michigan too, with Michigan and Michigan State. So it's so cool. We should absolutely be thrilled. And, you know, Auburn and Alabama have some interesting superlatives. If you look at who all else is in the Sweet 16, it's most of them are teams that Auburn and Alabama have already faced and beaten, or at least faced, and that just goes to the strength of schedule and all that. So it's an exciting time. We've got to wait till Friday and then wait till late Friday, but it's coming.
Speaking of the Auburn hoops and Coach Pearl, instead of just the normal after game, well, we did pretty good and we blocked here and our guys are really making the threes or whatever, he goes and takes it to, which he's done before, shouldn't be a surprise, to talk about the hostages there that Hamas is holding.
Yeah, and in particular, an American hostage that is still captured. It is still, you know, ever since October 7th, 2 years ago. That's October 7th, 2023. Let's remember that. I thought it was really cool that he...
Yeah, you don't hear that a lot, right? I mean, that's not something you hear from a college sports coach.
Yeah, and he knew that he had a big platform, right? It's the NCAA tournament. They're the number one overall seed. He's got a huge platform, and he uses it to remind folks, and hopefully they knew in the first place, that there is still an American hostage, there in Gaza. And we don't know. We don't know if he's been beaten. And you can see some of the others who have been released, and it looks pretty bad. And, of course, they'll just kill a lot of them to begin with. But, yeah, good on Coach Pearl. I saw that come out, and I said, man, you just can't love this guy enough.
I want to go back. We'll come back to recent emails from Alabama Daily News. But before that, I think it was on Thursday or Friday. The headline here, pharmacy reimbursement bill passes the Senate. What is this? And does this all the PBMs or BPM, whatever it was, I was ignorant until people started telling me, hey, this is a real thing that's affecting people.
Well, your listeners who are also lawmakers are laughing right now because to try to explain this legislation in less than 30 minutes, less, you know, 30 seconds is tough. Essentially, what it comes down to is this. Pharmacies around the state, especially the local smaller pharmacies, are really getting squeezed right now because in some cases they have no choice in terms of caps, what they can charge for drugs. But these pharmacy benefit managers, these giant corporations that negotiate drug prices, are charging pharmacies way more than they can afford to make a profit. And, you know, they've got to at least make some money off of the drugs that they sell. And so this has been around for a while. Alabama is not the only state that's dealing with this. It's a nationwide problem. So what this bill would do is to further regulate these PBMs, first of all, by requiring that they sell at least cost, right? At least charge pharmacies what they're going to have to sell it for, right? So at least they're breaking even. And then plus a $10.64 fee that will be charged to the PBMs per prescription. That fee, you know, goes to the pharmacy and helps the pharmacy stay afloat. So there are lots of details and regulations and things like that in the bill, but that's what it comes down to. Now, what the business community has objected to is that fee, because they argue that,
right,
you start charging PBMs more, well, then they're going to start charging insurance companies more, and then they're going to start charging employers more, who are in turn going to start charging employees more via their healthcare plans, right? Blue Cross plans or what have you.
Right.
You know, that it all comes out in the wash. And so there's been a lot of pushback from the business community. There's been a lot of negotiation and compromise. I mean, it passed unanimously, which I think speaks to the desire senators do have to get something done. But it'll go to the House now. They'll continue to negotiate. But I do expect the legislature to do something on this issue. I just don't think the business community is finished talking about those costs and how they could be passed on to the consumer.
Yeah, I'm only speaking for myself. And I mean, there's a certain number that's a no, but if it was a de minimis amount or even somewhat de minimis amount, and it meant that I had more choices out there, you know, that cost is maybe worth it to me. I don't know. I mean, it's a new subject to me from the last couple months. I've only been aware of it since then.
Well, it's interesting because last year, this legislation came up last year, and it was very different. That $10.64 fee was put on prescription drugs at the point of sale, right? So every time you went and got your prescription filled, you would have had to pay $10.64 extra. Well, that bill was easy to kill because opponents could come out and say, well, here's, you know, $10 every, think about.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
a lot.
And so this year they got smart and said, okay, we're going to put that fee on the pharmacy benefit managers, you know, these giant nameless corporations.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no such thing as a free lunch. Those costs eventually come down. They trickle down to employers, to employees sometimes. And so, yeah, is it worth it? Is it worth that increased, you know, cost of healthcare to keep your local pharmacy around? And so those are the conversations that are happening. But I think what the business community is saying is, don't act like that fee is only going to be paid by the PBMs and they won't charge anything else for it, right? This is capitalism.
Yes.
This is America. We're all trying to make a buck. So that's where the bill stands.
Would that be the excuse maybe for the Sackler family, right? They were just trying to make a buck. You see what I did? Here's a pivot into that story from today.
into opioid settlement. Yeah.
The Sacklers were they're just trying to make a dollar. Just trying to get by. The Sacklers were just, just a homegrown company, just trying to keep their people employed and help out people every day, right?
And now some of those dollars are coming to Alabama and other states.
Yeah, so what's going on with this? This is significant money when you start talking about, $41
million? Yeah, so this is, you know, either the second or third round of, you know, the state as a whole got around $240 million from the opioid settlement that Attorney General Steve Marshall negotiated. That was interesting because, you know, he went and kind of went on his own instead of kind of going with with a lot of the states, negotiated our own. I think probably got more money up front than we could have had we waited.
Good, you answered that. So, I wondered if we got a better deal or not.
I think I would argue that we did, and especially with upfront money. And so, obviously, this opioid settlement money is supposed to go toward prevention, you know, preventing folks from getting on opioids to begin with. And a big one is treatment. Treatment for those who find themselves addicted and all that. I think so much of this money is going to Department of Mental Health because that's what they do is prevention and treatment. But you're going to see also law enforcement. They have costs that they need in terms of responding to emergencies and things like that. But there's a whole list of agencies in our story about it and what those funds are going to be used for. This is not the whole amount, but this is the next round, and they put there's actual legislation in the House right now that spells out how these funds can be used. So hopefully, obviously the opioid epidemic is awful, and it's a terrible episode in American history, but hopefully some of these funds can be used to stop it from happening again, and certainly to treat those that have become addicted themselves.
Is it going to tackle, because it's now moved into obviously fentanyl being the thing. This money and government is always late, right? To whatever issue we're having, government is late to it. Is it going to be trying to solve a problem that now has morphed into something else? You know, I just want to make sure it's forward looking than just like.
Yeah, I think the fentanyl, I don't think there's anything about the opioid epidemic that doesn't also.
Right.
I mean, they're the same. They're one and the same, right? Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of degrees. Maybe you started out on regular pain pills, and then once that runs out, you end up with this, you know, black market drug that really does damage, including with fentanyl. So I think that's the thing. Some of the marketing ads that I've seen is really kind of stopping it from the beginning. If, you know, so many people have innocently gotten on, been prescribed opioid drugs, thinking and not being, and that was the whole point of the settlement, is that there was not enough warnings out there that, hey, these things could be super addictive and really hurt you, and the amounts that were being given out and everything. So mm-hmm. I think just being a good patient to say, I don't know if opioids are for me. You know, pushing back against any doctor that might want to prescribe that. Because, again, a lot of innocent people got caught up in that. They had no idea, and then suddenly they're basically addicted to heroin. So I would certainly like to see a lot of prevention at the front end. But understanding that treatment is a big part of it, and that's a big role to play there.
Yeah, it's, you know, and to look back at those days, I remember pulling numbers and saying there were more opioid prescriptions in certain, maybe it was county, at the state of Alabama, or in certain counties and areas than anywhere else in the nation, or it was at least top three or something. It was really heavy duty here.
Yeah, it's gross. I mean, it's just awful to think about, and the lives that were impacted.
Yeah, but the Sacklers, they're just a company trying to make money. I mean, it's just they're just trying to make a living, man. Why are you getting so mean?
Well, that's the thing, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. I think a lot of folks turned their head, and mm-hmm. while this was going on, you had this miracle drug. Profits were out the wazoo, and I think that's a big reason why there are these, you know, not just prosecutions but settlements, is that they were lying about a lot of it, right? That corporation was lying about the impact of this drug. It's one thing if you're upfront about it, but when you deceive people, then yeah, you can be held liable, and especially given what happened with so many places throughout the country.
All right, help me do this. We always talk about this email I get 6 days a week. How do folks do like I do and get signed up?
It's really easy. Just go to aldailynews.com, enter your name and your email, and you'll be on the list. And you know, I had to make good on a bet.
Yeah,
when we were watching the game Saturday night, and it all, a lot of it came down to Tahad Pettiford's free throws, and I said, look, if he goes and hits all his free throws, I will change my name to Tahad Stacy, at least for one day. So Sunday, that was if you got your email on
yes,
Sunday,
it was I did.
From Tahad Stacy.
when I saw it too, like, because you know, on Outlook, people you can search, you know, by like somebody's last name or email, and right. looking for Todd's email, and one of the days it was, you know, all the other days it's T-O-D-D, and then one day it's T-A-H-A-A-D, Stacy.
That's right.
Well, you lived up on your
Todd.
Bat.
That's my boy.
Thank you, Todd. And also, when I don't know if you'll be Todd or Tahad when you're hosting Capital Journal, but tell folks about the TV show.
Absolutely. So, you know, legislature is on break this week, so we won't have our nightly episodes of Capital Journal. We will have our usual weekend review on Friday nights and Sunday afternoon. I won't be hosting this week. I'm actually about to fly out to Washington, where I'll be working this week in D.C., Randy Scott, my colleague, he's going to be hosting, and we'll always have a good show for you. So that's Friday night, 7:30 on APT.
All right, Tahad, I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Sean, be good.
See you. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. By the way, too, Friday down South Baldwin, Saturday, Dolphin Island. Really enjoyed it and got to visit with a couple different folks here. They said, hey, you said you were coming. You're here. I said, yeah. My son and I were down at the Native American Experience down at Fort Gaines. That was from 9 to 5 on Saturday. Really cool. It was a we spent a lot of time watching the stickball. And then there's a guy there doing hand-carved canoes, you know, like dugout canoes. Really cool stuff as well. Great time. Hopefully they do it next year, and we'll see you down there again next year with that. Hey, heads up, we've had boat show season. There's still some boat shows in the mix, but does that tell you something that's getting ready to be time to get out on the water? I mean, some of us, it's year-round, but some of y'all, like, you know, are civilized people that do other things during the year, and then you go, okay, now it's boating season. Hey, if you're one of those folks that has not had the boat out, obviously you want to get the service work done on your outboards, right? So if you go to my buddy Forrest at Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, they do the work, of course, on Yamaha engines. They're a Pro Elite service facility. They also work on Mercury engines as well. If you do the work yourself, Kelsey in the parts department, do love her. Kelsey knows if you show up with the serial number of your engine, she knows what part you need, whether you know impellers for water pumps or anything. She's got the part ready to go for you to do your own work. But if you want to get them to do the work, what I think is great is they do the work on the engine, but also they're going to check the boat out from bow to stern. And so it's not just the outboard engine, but are the running lights working, the bilge pump working, everything on the boat to make sure when you know back it off the trailer or dropping it down from the lift on the first trip of the year that everything's working perfectly. That's what you that's what you save up your time for, and everybody's going out and everybody's going to have fun. Well, make sure that everything on the boat's working so it does make for a great weekend or weekday trip. What you need to do is just go ahead and schedule that appointment. You just pull in there, drop the boat off. They do all the work right there at the location in Orange Beach or here not far from us on the East I-65 Beltline. Give them a call at 476-2699, or you don't have time to write that number down, that's fine. Just find bluewateryachtsales.net. If you just Google Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service, you'll see them. And get that appointment set up to drop the boat off, get that service work done, and get ready for like civilized people. Y'all have a boating season, so it's cute. Get after it. All right, to the text line here. Let's get... let me read you quickly here. The numbers they were talking about. They said extended spring break. This is from our folks over at WKRG. They said extended spring break, still bringing crowds to Alabama beaches. You got that right from what I saw on Friday. They said because I guess the spring breaks are hitting, it says, just in 1 week alone, almost 24 colleges and schools that often visit Alabama's beaches are on spring break. And it says occupancy rates for March are slightly down from last year. Beach tourism officials said the spring break season as a whole is busy as ever. So I guess it's spread out more with when spring breaks are being taken. Heck, our legislature, you know, takes two different spring breaks. So maybe they got waves of people coming. Well, I could see them on Friday. And I mentioned I couldn't figure out, though, going back to the north and then to the west, right, leaving Grander Marine there at the wharf, and then going back and coming back here to the station with the station vehicle, the traffic was bonkers. And one of my friends, South Baldwin guy, said, the traffic sucks because of poor planning. They have 32 closed. The detour is 98 to 87 back on 32. 87 is one lane. 98 is down to one lane. Old Foley Road is closed. Anyone coming from Perdido Key or the east end of the beach has to go 98 to the Beach Express. So maybe that's it. There's the answer. Because there was a whole bunch of people heading north. I was like, the traffic being kind of slow going southbound, I get it. Spring break, people are going, yeah, that makes complete sense. But then I was like, but I'm in stupid traffic going north and then going west on 10. All right, to the other text here. Let's see. Jerry in Fort Morgan. First of all, it said, Sean, turbines are used in power generation in Lake. Doesn't have hydroelectric power plant, just pumps. Yeah, I meant to say pumps, Jerry. You're correct. We'll get to that Big Creek Lake thing in a second. Also said, sounds like a great deal. He's talking about that $41 million. Sounds like a great deal for Todd's friends at Alta Point in the state of Alabama that will pee away, I'll put it that way, pee away the money faster than a drunk sailor on shore leave. I do want, that's why I asked Todd, Jerry, I want to make sure they're not, see, government, yeah, it happens one of a couple ways. Government makes a law, then the market figures out a way around it, right? Or a thing happens in outside of government, or, you know, a situation like the opioid epidemic, and they do react. I think people had good hearts in trying to do things, although I think the Sacklers got away with murder. But they're just regular folks trying to make a living. Those poor Sacklers, you know, Sackler family. That if you're new to the show, I'm sometimes sarcastic. The question I have for Todd, though, is are they going to spend that money trying to do things to fix an older problem, or are they going to get ahead of it, right? And I do understand the relationship between the opioid epidemic and then people going to fentanyl. I get it. I don't need a lecture on it. I just want to make sure it's, like, you'd see things over my life, childhood, born in the 70s, early 70s, but through the 80s and stuff, they'd come out with, like, the Just Say No to Drugs, Nancy Reagan, God rest her. And it was a little silly. It was marketed to people that were her age, or not marketed to, but created for people her age, where teenagers in the 80s were more savvy, and it seemed a little silly, what she was saying. So I hope with this money it's not, you know, dealing with something, trying to solve a problem that was 5 years ago and not looking at the problem is today. Maybe they'll do a great job at it. I'm not saying they won't. I think that's a... It's a worry, just in things I've seen over time. All right, Fire Dog. This is Fire Dog says, "Say let the park burn, especially if I never use it. Get out of the collection plate, people." It's about like for parks in cities. Fire Dog, in my 20s, I'd have been right there with you. Like I said, my libertarianism has eroded and has become pragmatic over the decades. All right, to the story about the Big Creek Lake. And the update, of course, Representative Stringer was on with us Friday. I know they played some clips during Mobile Mornings. Then Jeff had him on today talking about it. One thing that I think I don't need more information on, okay? There's a lot of this that I think we do need more information. And I think it's not been a good job. And by the way, I have offered to have the head of MAWS on the show with me. It's not going to happen this week, I'm told by his people, so maybe next week. I've tried. I want, you know, this is how I do this stuff. I want all sides to have a voice here and tell you the situation from their perspective, and then you can make your own decisions. They have not done a great job. Just saying they had a meeting. You, to do something like this, you got to get in front of it. You got to explain the whys, you know, all the things we're talking about, zebra mussels or giant salvinia or producing the, you know, things bothering the pumps that pump the water for the water supply. You didn't have 15 meetings like that. You need to come on shows like this, you know, and talk about it in depth conversations, not just, you know, the quick soundbite you would get on a TV station. And you come down here and sit and talk for, you know, an hour about this stuff and explain your position. But that has not happened. So that's a thing that I don't have the doubts on the questions of, can you still run Big Creek Lake as the water supply without bringing a lot of cost here for eliminating invasives and still pump water? Those are things I want to hear more discussion on, but there has not been the amount of discussion needed here. So Representative Stringer, if you didn't hear him with Jeff, didn't hear him with me, he announced earlier, was it this month? Yeah, it was this month. He had been working on it, but he filed the bill, I guess it was last Thursday. Shane Stringer filed House Bill HB 473 that, to quote a story from Lanep, says, would prohibit utilities from closing bodies of water under their control. A quote from Representative Stringer said, I could have 20 or 25 more that would have signed on to this. Remember, I asked him Friday, I said, I was surprised that he got people from other parts of the state, because sometimes it's hard on things that are very specific, even like Highway 45 that Representative Stringer and I talk about a bunch. It's tough to get people's attention that are from Etowah County or, heck, you know, Montgomery County or Marshall County, anywhere. It seems very localized, but it's this. He did not have an issue with getting people to sign on to this. And his push here is to, let's see, the specific language, let's see how it says it. I don't have the full bill in front of me, but it would be to take that decision away, maybe, in some cases, from those utilities. It would be able to keep it keep a lake like Big Creek Lake opened. Now, people say, well, is it public or is it private? It is public. It's a public utility. Of course, what I've asked through this whole thing is, where's Twinkle Cavanaugh and the Public Service Commission on this? Have we heard from – anybody heard from her? Anybody, y'all? Oh, okay, nobody here has. How do you make this decision? Is the cost of mitigating some invasive species getting in and messing up the pumps for Big Creek Lake so high that it's worth shutting down the recreational activities on Big Creek Lake? If so, then you need to come out and have a whiteboard there where you write the cost on there and all those things and show us. But at this point, you have enough people that feel fed up with this that you have a representative that said, okay, I heard my constituents and I want to bring this bill. And it looks like it has some traction. It has some traction out there. So your thoughts on this at 343-0106. See, Tim said, Sean, with all this water company stuff going on, they are still forcing people to sell their property using eminent domain if they need a right-of-way or something. Why are they forcing people to sell their whole place just instead of buying the right-of-way? Great question, Tim. I don't know. And what Tim's talking about is, like, you know, if a utility, let's think of power lines, right? You see power lines a lot of places, or gas lines. The utility does a, it can be eminent domain, or I think it'd be willing buyer, willing seller, but they buy the rights to go through there. They don't take the whole property. They take the, you know, that swath of land they need for those power poles or that gas line to be, and they take it from, you know, multiple landowners and go through to provide these utilities. I did not know that, Tim, that Moss is buying the whole property instead of just buying where the pipe would go. That's interesting. If I get a chance to talk to folks with at the head of Moss, I'd like to ask that question. I don't have an answer for you, but I'll try to find out. It says, yet they've been using the practices for years. Sounds like they got some judges in their back pockets. Okay. Let's see. This is more about the zebra mussels. Yeah, a long text from somebody about zebra mussels. I'm familiar with them just because of Great Lakes texter and out west where they're worried about it. If you're taking a drift boat and you're trout fishing, you're going from one stream section to another, what cleansing has to be done? This person said the zebra mussels said a report was issued regarding the reason why a lake was being closed. This report explained the dangers of zebra mussels, how easily they're spread from one lake to the next. Residents claim we will wash our boats. Zebra mussels are so small and hide inside a rope within no time. They multiply in pipes and harden, costing millions. Okay. So that information, even though they put a memo out, they need to have events, right? They need to come on shows like this. They need to be telling people this for years instead of just kind of, oh, we did our meeting, we did our memo.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Can't believe that Dolly Parton wants our kids reading books. Dang it, Dolly. When is it enough for you, Dolly? When? Talked to a friend who was up in Gatlinburg, too, who said they went to the Hatfield and McCoy show up there. Then probably didn't find it the most riveting thing they'd ever seen, but they said that's part of, like, the stampede up there. It's part of the Dolly Parton. She's doing like the late Jimmy Buffett did, right? Take your stardom and your music and then get into different businesses out there. When is it enough, Dolly Parton? When do you control enough in this world? My gosh. Clear and present danger of Dolly Parton out there. Fire Dog said, I think we're the same age, 53. No, you old fart. I'm 52. I'll be 53 soon. Not that soon, a few months away. And my libertarian streak has only gotten worse. I'm all in now. And I've gone the opposite way. It's still my core values. Some things on libertarianism that caused me to rub people the wrong way are still there. But at a municipal setting, county setting, I've definitely been a lot more pragmatic. Let's see. Mr. Valentine said, Ma's arrogance sounds like the Alabama Highway Department and Meemaw Ivy. Let's see. I asked, thank you. Jason answered me. I asked the question, where's the Public Service Commission? Where's Twinkle Kavanaugh? Now Jason says, Twinkle's too busy running for three other positions. What are you running for? I don't know. What you got, huh? What you got? Michael, let's see, said, what's more likely to bring in the mussels, one of the thousands of birds or the hundreds of boats? Yeah, the zebra mussel. So, Michael, we can argue this too, though, that one can be prevented, right? One can't. I don't know what the rate, I don't have the number of which one's more. But I know in places they've had these zebra mussel invasions some places they shut down, but the other ones, I think it's like a washing protocol. The things I've seen, and I've not been on every stream. I've not been on every Great Lake, so I can't say what the situation is on all of them. But I know in a very narrow part of what I've seen before, they're like, they go through the boats. There's sprays and stuff they put on the, you know, to kill off the stuff to make sure when they leave one body of water, go to the other. Maybe you got one that has zebra mussels and you're going to the other one that doesn't. Although I thought it was giant salvinia was the problem with Big Creek Lake. Hey, this is, once again, this may be legitimate. Maybe. It may be legitimate. But what I know is not been legitimate is not having these discussions publicly. And, it's like somebody said, well, they put out a press release. Okay. Well, we get press releases by the hundreds daily. Okay. What you need to do is you put out the press release. That's fine. You can have the meeting that checks the box. But then you need to go on shows like this very program, this radio station. You need to have widely advertised events. And when they're put out a quick series of ads, and maybe on, you know, that are web-based ads that show the, here's zebra the mussel, and zebra the mussel gets in the water, and here's how it affects the pump. I mean, you know, something to that effect. So before you make this move, you had to, like, let people know it's getting ready to happen, right? I mean, and then tell them and tell them again and tell them again out there. But now you've got a problem where people feel, and I think rightly so, that they hadn't had their chance to comment. They haven't been in the loop on this. Now, if it's, you know, if it's truly this issue for giant salvinia, zebra mussel, aquatic zombies, I don't know what the invasive species could be, you need to come out and say, okay, if we get this invasive species in here, then it's going to, the mitigation of this is going to cost whatever the number is. It's $10 million, it's $12 million, whatever it is. That would then be borne upon the people paying bills for Mobile water. Okay, and you could say, well, do you want to make the decision? Is it worth having this reserve fund or whatever you want to do, not like the utility, it has to compete out there, right? So it gets the money. Do we need to put this money in reserve to deal with these, possible future infections into the lake of invasive species? Or do you want to close it and save that money? I mean, that discussion, and people may end up saying, nah, that's fine, keep it open. And we'll move forward. Some people might say the heck with, but that's a conversation that needed to be happening many times, and like it should have been where anybody in town, would have gone, God, if I hear another thing about the dang giant salvinia, that's how you know you've gotten the information out. It needs to be that kind of thing. It needs to get, I mean, it might not be on the level of the I-10 Mobile River Bridge project, but if it's a third that much of a kitchen table subject that you could start with anybody, you know, you're sitting wherever and you go, man, what about that? That everybody would know. That would be important. All right, so we continue that conversation next hour. Plus, I heard the conversation this morning with Dan and Dalton and the story about possible changes to SNAP out there. So it says here, this is from News Nation. It said, here it is. A ban on using food stamps for candy and soda has been touted by supporters as a way to push users to make healthier choices to bring the program in line with its intended purpose. Opponents fear it's part of a plan to eventually eliminate the program. Okay. So the Supplemental Nutritional Assistance Program, we know SNAP, for food stamps, that, right? This question is, should you be able to limit the items purchased with that benefit? It says Kansas, along with 15 states, including Idaho, Tennessee, Arizona, and Utah, have put forth bills sponsored by state legislators or other parties. Is Alabama on that list? No. Okay, just checking. Sponsored by state legislators and other parties asking federal government to allow SNAP restrictions on candy and sugary drinks, citing the need for better nutrition. Now, this is, you know, if you're going to pick a time to do this, the MAHA movement, right? The RFK Jr.-led MAHA movement that I think will give cover, political cover for doing this for states, don't you? Do you think that this is what needs to be done? Do you need to be able to, and how far does it go? If you go, okay, listen, you can't have any, you can't buy Jolt Cola, and you can't buy gummy clusters with your SNAP benefit, okay. But then what else do you, to restrict on that? So we'll get your opinions on that coming up. And I mean, if it doesn't get to the point that RFK Jr. mobilizes the National Guard to take out the nerd factory, then this is something that's constitutional.